I'm listening. What do you require?
Hello, and welcome to Control Alt WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making mini alts. I'm Aprilian, currently of the Earthen Ring server, and today is Tuesday, June 19th, 2007, and this is episode 26 entitled Making Mini Goals. Wow, episode 26. So if I've been doing a podcast a week, that means it's been about half a year. I'll have to go back and check my files to see when I actually started. It's one of those things where you start doing something and you don't keep track of it because it's just for fun, and before you know it, it keeps going. And I really am enjoying doing this podcast almost as much as I enjoy playing World of Warcraft. Now, this week has been a really good week because Aunt Rilia, my level 58 troll hunter, has gone through the dark portal. Now, it doesn't mean as much to me as it would be to some other people who have been playing for a while. If you started out in the first year and you had some level 60 characters that you had gotten to before Burning Crusade, and you had nothing to do, or you had done all the quests, or you had done as much as you found interesting, then the Dark Portal, going through the Dark Portal, was an exciting, doll-breaking thing, you know, a big threshold to cross. Now, I got through the Dark Portal mainly because I was 58. I still have loads of quests to do in non-Outland, or vanilla WoW, as some people call it. And I'm actually going back to finish those, but I did just want to go through the portal. And the funniest thing was, I didn't know how to get through the portal. I'll get to the portal. There's a lot of things you can do as far with World of Warcraft that's kind of neat, and it's interesting culture in that there is loads and loads of information out there. If you are doing a quest and you can't figure out how far to go, you can Google it, and chances are, if you just put the name of the quest without even putting World of Warcraft, you will get to links for that specific quest as opposed to something that's non-World of Warcraft related. This is, I think, an amazing phenomenon that the internet and World of Warcraft have come together and created this fountain of information that's available. Of course, I had spoken to my husband about this and the fact that there is that much information out there, and he is of a mind, which I don't think many World of Warcraft people agree, that going online Googling stuff is almost akin to cheating. Of course, you can ask in-game, but some of the stuff is hard to explain, and then, of course, people are doing a lot of things, and things, to me, that you can find merely by clicking over to Google in your browser search, or you know, going to google.com, seemed kind of silly to waste talking to people. The other thing that I've found, and I didn't know this, of course, because I'm a Mac user, is that some people have a difficulty alt-tabbing out of the game. I run in window mode. Sometimes if I'm doing a instance run or something that's really intense, I will do full screen, but then I do have a second computer that I can access. But it was interesting to me that there are some people, specifically PC people, and I don't want to be a snob or start any Mac versus PC negativity, but usually on my Mac, I'm running at least 6 programs, if not more. And if I couldn't tab over to another program, it would really make me feel like I had my one arm tied behind my back. In fact, on my iMac, I actually run 2 instances of World of Warcraft along with some other heavy-duty programs. I'm usually downloading some TV shows from my Replay TV and then converting them using Toast, which is a very processor-heavy programs, and it seems to work all right. But anyways, back to the topic. So I hadn't taken the time to go and Google exactly how to get to the portal. I was hoping or imagining that maybe I would go in with some friends, but when I hit 58, I was itching. Well, I hit 58, and then I had some quests I wanted to finish. So by the time Aunt Amelia got to the portal, she was 58 and a quarter. And so I mentioned to my friend Asheo that I wanted to get to the dark portal, and she said, "Blast it, lands." And I have one of those books. I have two books that have all the maps and stuff on it, in it, and I looked up Blasted Land, and I looked up the nearest flight path that I had, which was Stonard, which is in the Swamp of Sorrows. And it was so easy, I felt kind of silly that I didn't know it, because all I had to do was fly into Stonard, walk down the follow the path down south, get into Blasted Land, follow the road, quote unquote, all the way down until it got till you get to a fork. When you get to the fork, you go to the right, and there's a by the time you get to the right, you take the right fork and you go a little bit further, you start to see all this thunder and lightning flashing and booming, and you realize it's coming from the dark portal. And when you get to the portal, you have to go through this little crevice, but it's very obvious. It's the portal kind of looks like the fuzzy entrance, the swirling entrance to an instance. And when you get through it, when you get down there, there's a bunch of people or NPCs, and there's one with the little exclamation point over his head. And you go over to him and get a quest, and his quest is to take a message into the dark portal to one of the generals on the other side. And you go through, and you're in Outland, and it was awesome. First of all, it's scary because when you first go through, there's this humongous, like, elite NPC dragon guy, and he's so big that he looks like he's right on in front of the portal, but he's actually down a lot further. And I guess at some point there's some fight with that, but I didn't go there. I just followed my little gold point on my mini map and found the guy near the Windrider guy, who told me to go to Thralmar and to complete that quest. Of course, it's a chain of quests. You go to this guy. It's kind of like, you know, that first quest you get in Crossroad, where you get the flight path to Orgrimmar, and you gotta take some package for somebody. I think almost all the starting areas have that sort of thing. And so I had to take the message to Thralmar, and then take the message to another guy outside of Thralmar. But it was amazing and exciting, and it's something that you just, I don't know, you just don't get in most games that I have played. This thrill that you're in a new land and there's all this exciting stuff going on. And of course, Thralmar is amazing because it's got all the trainers and all the cool stuff. And there's a vendor there that sells these really cool bags that hold, like, there's a mining bag and an enchanting bag and a gem bag, and they're all like 20 slot bags, but they're BOP. They're like 10 gold, but there was also this 14 gold Draenei bag, and I just couldn't figure this out because it was 12 gold and it was a 14 slot bag, which you can get 14 slot bags for 5 gold on the auction house. But anyways, I picked up a mining bag and sent it back to my bank alt, and she managed to sell it for 20 gold. I have several of those on different alts then, and I had to either pay the 20 gold on the auction house, because I think they're like 9 gold from the vendor, or beg people to go to Outland and get it. But now I'm in Outland and I could get them myself. I mean, I felt like I wanted to dance. I'm in Outland. I'm in Outland. I'm in Outland. I'm in Outland. Of course, you know, next year, or I guess 2008, there'll be something else that you can get to. And I went out and did a couple of quests, and I mined my first fell iron, and I trained my mining, and I trained my I trained my skinning too, so that was kind of neat. So now I'm getting up there on both of those, and I think I got 4 fell iron ore, and I smelted it into 2 bars, and I sent it to my bank alt, and she sold it for like 4 or 5 gold for 2 bars. So I'm gonna make some money here in Outland. But then I went back to Fellwood because I had some quests that I hadn't finished, and Real Fire had the same quest, the Jadenar quest, from somebody in Emerald City, and we went in and finished those quests, mainly because I did want to clean up those quests, and also because I wanted to help Real Fire, because she is my leather worker, and she really needs to get to Outland. I had read some posts. Of course, most of my alts have been to Outland, so technically, you know, this shouldn't be a big thing, but the only Outland they had been to was Shatrat City, which they had gotten a summon to. With all my alts, I'm actually able to summon to Shatrat just by myself, because I have a couple of warlocks, and so what I could do is take a warlock on one account, and I have an alt in Shatrat in the bank area, and she's just there so that anybody who does hearth back to Shatrath can then go to her and dump their stuff if they need to. She's also the alt that takes all the letters that I keep. She's my library alt. And I know it's silly to keep a lot of these letters, but some of them are from friends, and some of them are, you know, just cutesy things that I thought I'd like to keep. It'd be nice if I could... I could just go in and do a bunch of screen captures and then make some kind of online file, or some kind of file in iPhoto or something of all my little notes, but she's got them right now. One of the podcasts was talking about the way that we have the key ring now, and all the keys can go in the key ring. Wouldn't it be neat if we could have some kind of a library or some kind of notebook, and you could put a bunch of pages in a notebook, particularly the ones from the Stranglethorn Vale quests, the Hills books, and then there's, I think, another quest in Ashenvale where you have to collect the pages to the Shredder Manual, and I'm sure there's, as we move up, there's other pages that are books that have to be created. That would be kind of neat. So anyways, I have these, then I can bring anyone from the third account, actually I think of it as my second account, but anyways, because my bank alt is on the bank alt in Shatrath is on my third account. I can bring somebody in on the second account, and then I can actually summon people. I could even possibly make money off of that, because I know that mages charge a gold piece to be, they don't summon though. Mages port, warlocks summon. And it's all kind of neat. Mages can port by themselves. I'm not exactly sure, because I've never leveled up a mage. Although I'm thinking about leveling up a mage, and I started a paladin, and they have some really neat stuff. But I think they have to use something. I'm pretty sure they use something, like some kind of regent to port people. But it's kind of neat having that option. A few times I've been on guild chat and somebody said, oh, can I get a summon or a port to Shatrath? And I was able to bring on all my guys and port somebody over. I mean, summon somebody. Which is kind of neat. Anyway, so the subject of today's podcast is mini goals. And I guess that's kind of ties into this Outland thing, because the problem with having alts is keeping track of the goals. It's easy when you have one person and you know what you're going to do, and you're going to do this straight through, and you know, you you're level 50, you're level 60, you're level 70, whatever, you just keep going, and then you get that character there, and boom, you're done. I, for one, I admire people that do it, and I don't think there's any problem with doing it, but I just imagine that if I had just one person going along, and then I got to 70, I think by the time I got back to start over again, I would probably forget a lot of things, and I'd probably die a lot, because I know sometimes when I'm on a lower character, I do things that I would normally do on my upper character, and I forget, oh yeah, you're only level 12, you can't jump off of this ledge without getting hurt, and oh, I know where I do that a lot, the Zeppelin at Undercity, because you know, you have to go down those winding stairs, but if you go down just one winding stair after you get off the Zeppelin, and you're facing Undercity, and if you're, what, I'd say 25 and above, you can jump off of that platform and just keep going. Yeah, you're going to suffer a little bit of damage, but you're going to heal by the time, you know, you're going to regenerate your health before you do anything, and you're just going to Undercity, so it's not like you're going to get in the middle of a mob. And it's not like the bat or the wolfhounds right there at the Undercity, at the Zeppelin. Zeppelin is going to hurt you. In fact, where was I? Oh, I had a quest in Fellwood that took me back to Ratchet. Some of these quests are funny. I had to go to Ratchet, and I'm level 50 on Real Fire and level 58 on Aunt Rilia. And I'm running through those pirates over there by Mara, you know, in that alcove. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. The pirates that you have to fight when you're like level 12 or 14. And I'm running through these pirates, and there's a level 12 that's like hitting on me. And I'm like, did somebody tickle me? Because it like did minus 12 damage. And like, you know, of course that's like almost nothing, but it was kind of amusing when you get up to a certain height and you go through these lower level mobs. Also, and I know this has to be my imagination, but it seems like you're bigger. You get bigger when you level up. Is that true? Can anybody confirm this? Does your size actually change? Because it just seems like it would be weird, but and I should know because I go back and forth between alts, and I know when I'm on my level 12 or my level 20, I feel smaller than when I'm in one of my 50 characters, one of my 250 characters. Because, of course, Aunt Rilia is my highest level character. Oh, I want to give a shout out to one of my guildmates named Feckler, who PST'd me the other day to tell me that his highest alt was like 60 something, and that she was on the one that's like 50 something, and that I shouldn't feel bad that I hadn't gotten my alts up, which was kind of nice to hear. Sometimes I feel kind of slow compared to other people, let me take a time to give a shout out to Brother C, who has dinged 70, and it's funny because I know when I first started hanging out with him, we did a raid on Stormwind with our guild, Alea Iacta Est, and he couldn't have been any more than 30, and he's now 70. But when I see some of these people, and salute Brother C, when I see some of these people who are, you know, passing me and zooming and, you know, getting way up there, I feel like I'm kind of missing out. But I'm not. I'm enjoying the game content the way I want to enjoy it. And of course, I'm leveling up multiple alts, so it's really okay. Which brings me to the next topic I wanted to talk about. When you are leveling multiple alts, you are going to run into the level disparity, and unless you all the time level each alt at the same time, you're going to find that you're going to have alts at different levels. Even if you try to level them together, certain classes have a tendency to level faster. Sometimes it has to do with the specific quest for that class. Some classes have special quests that give them extra points, and also sometimes you end up soloing with a group or something, and you end up spacing them apart. I know Adrian and Aprillian started out at the same time, and Adrian is level 23 and Aprillian's level 26. She's done some stuff by herself, not by herself, but with other people, other toons of mine. And unfortunately, I think I've been abandoning poor Adrian. Part of the problem is, of course, that Adrian is a hunter and he's on the same account with Aunt Relia. And Aunt Relia's been getting a lot of attention, obviously, because she's got to 58. And how do you sort this out? And is it really a problem? Well, it can be, because when you do end up grouping with your alts of different levels, there's a thing that goes on with the EXP. And sometimes it's okay to group if you're just trying to get a quest finished, or like when I was tagging Aprillian along with Trishel and Aunt Relia, and also I think I was alternating between Trishel and Realfire with Aunt Relia and Aprillian in Fellwood, just so that Aprillian could get the those all of a sudden I'm having a blank. It's the Timbermoor ally, and I had Aprillian tagging along to get the rep from that. But the problem is that when you do group with someone who's many levels above you, your EXP is going to be lower. And when you're grouping with someone that's several levels below you, it affects your EXP. For instance, when Aunt Relia was killing these Firblog for the Timbermoor ally, and it was in her range, she was level 49, there were 47s to 40 to 50. She would kill one by herself, and with rested EXP, she was getting around, I think, 500 or 600. When she grouped with Aunt Relia, who was at the time 8 levels above her, they both started getting between 2 and 270, maybe 258. And when they started grouping with Aprillian, only who was level 26 at the time, only got I believe it was less than 100, maybe 100, maybe 118, I believe. I'm trying to remember this. I'm thinking and imagining that number that pops up, the little purple or blue number that pops up when you kill something. And I think Aunt Relia and Realfire were getting under 200 for the kills. So even though grouping is fun with your alts, you do lose EXP or get lower EXP by grouping. Of course, you're both leveling up at the same time, so in a way, you're still getting double EXP if you combine. Because if I combine the three, Aunt Relia, Aprillian, and Realfire, they were still getting over 500 EXP for kill. I wonder if that's what the formula is for World of Warcraft. I wonder if they take the whole number you could get per kill and divide it by the number of people killing of different levels. But anyways, but it's still interesting, especially if you're just doing a quest where you have to kill so many people, and it's still a viable way of playing for those of us that multi-box and have multiple alts. And if you're doing a quest, like I said, you're gonna do the quest faster, or you're all gonna do the quest at the same time. Of course, if you're doing one of those gathering quests where you gotta get so many of each, it's gonna take a little bit longer, because now you have multiple people to spread these things about. And then at one point, because they're all grouping, one's following the other, the loot is set for free for all, and I try to be aware of who's gotten what. And maybe, like, for instance, when with the Timbermoor ally, you get to a point where you're collecting these headdress feathers from these guys, and I usually had the first person doing the looting until her bags are full, the first toon. And but sometimes when I want a specific toon to get the experience first, like when Aunt Rilia was trying to get neutral so she could complete this quest, and once she got neutral, she could talk to somebody. No, friendly. Neutral, you can go through the tunnel. Friendly, you had to get friendly before you could talk to somebody. So I had her getting most of the feathers, which of course now at this point I had to shift click so that I could figure out if the feathers were in there, and then really fire could grab them, or you know, let Aprillian run, I mean not really in run for forward and get them first. Anyways, I'm sorry if I'm rambling, but this is exciting stuff for me, and I really enjoy it, and I hope I'm not annoying you with my rambling. Aunt Rilia is still going to be in Fellwood for a little while longer, even though she's dying to get back to Outland. She's going to be there because she wants to get honored with the Timbermore. So I think there's some recipes and some stuff she can get once she's honored with Timbermore, and she's about 1200 points away. So she's got to collect some more feathers. And the neat thing is that there are quests on both sides of the tunnel that she can complete. There's a quest, there's some Firblogs that she can kill on in Winterspring and get the rep, and in Fellwood. So she's going to be going back and forth. I think she's going to bring Trishel up because I really want to get Trishel, who's my level 47 hunter. I really want to get her to 50. And because she's the jewel crafter, and once she gets to 50, she can go past 300 in jewel crafting, and she'll be able to cut gems. And I think that's where the money is, because when you're 60 and above, and you can start wearing the items that are socketed, I think it's 60 and above. I'll have to check that out. So that's my goal with Trishel. And that brings us to the topic of today's podcast, which is mini goals. I know I might sound like I'm saying many goals, which is different from mini goals, and that's the whole idea with a bunch of alts, is that you have all these little goals that you want to do and you need to keep track of. Right now, I have a dilemma with one of my toons, and that's Iwari. That's Iwari, as in I wore I. Who is still in Crush Bridge Hole, still mining ore. She's doing a great job. She sends all her ore to Primal, and Primal, who is my bank alt in Thunderbluff, has been making a fortune. She had to send out some money to Aunt Rilia so she could train, and but she's still doing good, and I think by the time Aunt Rilia gets to the point where she can get another mount, she'll be all set with as far as funds are concerned. And I think oh, my level 37 rogue is going to be 40 one of these days, and she'll be all ready to get her mount. She's not doing much other than enchanting stuff for my alts. And which is kind of nice. I talked last week about doing a transfer from one of my old realms. I had actually gone and looted all my characters and sold a lot of stuff and put some stuff on auction house, and I've been sending the money to this one character that I'm thinking of transferring to Earthen Ring, mainly because because I want to transfer another character from my Burning Crusade Collector's Edition account to another account, just to spread my nether whelps all around. And the other thing is that I want a herbalist alchemy person, and this person is actually, her name is Pril, and she's a warlock, I believe. Yes, a level 22 warlock. Blood elf, so she's cute, and I want her to come And she's got a, I think she's got tailoring or something, but I think she's gonna drop whatever she has and start doing alchemy and herbalism, because I don't have a character doing herbalism and alchemy on Earth and Ring. I had one who was pretty, who was just a level 13 on Balgun, but I decided to bring Prill instead. So this should be, I started to transfer her last week. And then before I transferred her, I wanted to check all my alts. And I have an alt on, an Alliance alt, an Ironforge on that server, who was doing the whole dragon hawkling, dragon hatchling thing. And I hadn't been sending her any money or anything, and finally I watched or any hatchlings or checking on her at all, because I had been busy on Earth and Ring. And so I started messing with her a little bit, you know, sending her some stuff and selling the stuff on the auction house. And I realized that I probably should wait until Pearl has 300 gold before I transferred her. A character between 10 and 30 can only transfer up to 300 gold with them, and it goes up higher the higher level you are. So I decided to start the whole thing with Balgun, and or restart the whole thing with my whore, I mean Alliance alt, selling dragon hatchlings, and that's been going really well. Mainly one because I think Balgun has a good population, which makes it easier for the hatchlings to sell. So that's been going well. And once she gets enough money, once this Alliance character makes, well, once she makes 50, I send it to her equivalent, or the Alliance character I have in Strangle Thorn Vale and Booty Bay at the auction house. And then she transfers it over to the Alliance character, the Horde character that I have sitting there. Well, you know, the Horde character puts something on the auction house for 50 gold, and then the Alliance character buys it. And little by little, she's building up some money, so she'll bring some money over with her when I'm ready to transfer her. And that money will come in handy when she starts power leveling alchemy and herbalism. And I think that'll be good, because potions are a big thing, and if I can then get her up some, and she's able to go into some of the other areas to pick flowers, then she'll be coming handy. I am also thinking of leveling up another miner, because at this point, Iwari, as I was saying, is level 43, and she's ready to move on. There are actually some ogres in Crushbridge Hole that do not give her XP, which is okay, because she's really not there to get XP. She's just really there to mine ore. And past couple of days, she's gotten to get some ore from a few Alliance people, which is always neat. There's one funny thing that gets me though. If you've been in Crushbridge Hold, or you've been in any cave system, you know that you can look in the mini map. And the nicest thing about Crushbridge Hold is it's just big enough to fit in the mini map, so you can see the whole cave structure. And you have your mining tracker on. You can see every node that's in the cave. So I sit there, I log her in, she looks at the mini map, she sees if there's any nodes in the cave. Sometimes there's absolutely none because somebody's just come in and gotten all of them. And sometimes she comes in and she logs on, and there's little gold lights everywhere, and it's so neat to just run out and get that ore. And she, just to reiterate, she's mining mithril and iron, which is really good. She's sending the mithril to Trishel, who's using it to prospect gems. And the ore and all the rocks to Primal, who's the alt in Thunderbluff, my bank alt, and she's selling the iron and the rocks, the stones. Also, she's getting true silver and thorium. No, I don't think she's gotten any thorium. I think Aunt Rilly is the only thorium collector right now. But she gets true silver and, oh, silver and gold. And then she, once her bags are totally full, she, oh, and also the ogres drop silk. Rarely they drop wool, and they also drop mage weeds, so she's getting that. And then there's another elite NPC that sometimes shows up called LaGresh, I think his name is. And he drops several things. Usually he drops just a green called Boulder Pads, which she sends to Aprillion or Vale to disenchant. Or he drops a couple of blue items. One is a pacifier, which is a mace, which sells on the auction house between 20 and 30 gold. Or he drops blue ogre kickers. These both are blue items. And that sells for 30 to 40 gold on the auction house. I think mainly because, it, you know, for twinks. But the blue ogre kickers are a nice male shoes. And also, most of my hunters have those shoes, boots, because they're really good boots, and I think they can even go up into, I think even Aunt Rilia might still be wearing hers, I'm not sure, but I know that I'll have to check. And you know how I can check? I can check on RPG Outfitter, and I have to say, I haven't mentioned it lately, but I have to say that I am using RPG Outfitter a lot. For instance, I will get somebody on the guild, and guild chat will say, can anybody make such and such, or is there any leather workers around, and then I'll just go on to RPG Outfitter, and I can instantly go to the person I'm interested in, and this time it's Aunt Rilia, and I can see their recipes, and I can see what they're wearing. Now, Aunt Rilia has upgraded to Griffin Male Greaves of the Owl, which is a green item. It's 10 intellect and 10 spirit, and she's it's 178 armor and 10 intellect and 10 spirit. Oh, I said that. And oh, and she's gotten mithril spurs, which I'm sure Vale put on. Let me see. I know somebody still has the blue ogre kickers. I just want to get the correct name. Let's see. Let's go to Trishel, who's the level 47 hunter. You know, I get a lot of plate stuff, and I really want to get a warrior up high enough so that I can make use of some of these plate stuff. Okay, so Trishel does have them, and they're the black ogre kickers. I'm sorry, they're blue items, but they're called the black ogre kickers. And they are level 166 armor and plus 6 strength and plus 13 stamina, and they have mithril spurs as well, because I probably sent them to Vale and had her put mithril spurs. And I mentioned mithril spurs, but just so you'll know what they are, they add a speed buff to when you're walking? No, spurs. To when you're riding. So I think all my characters over 40 have mithril spurs. It's kind of funny because most of the characters under 40 have the minor speed buff from Vale as well, because she's the blacksmith and the enchanter. The mithril spurs come from blacksmithing. You can pass mithril spurs themselves around, but a blacksmith over 215 has to put them on the boots themselves. And what it does is, when you attach it to your boots, it increases your movement speed slightly. It doesn't say how slightly, but I thought there was a percentage. But it works pretty well. And I can notice the difference. The funny thing is that when these guys have mithril spurs, when I'm grouping them with someone who doesn't ride, like for instance when they're running with Aprillion or Adrian, and Adrian and Aprillian have the minor speed, and they're walking. Actually, the walkers are the lower level walkers are actually faster walkers than the upper level riders. Of course, I could always do something with trading out, but with right now, I'm not in the point, and I'm not capable of carrying multiple armors. Of course, if I got through, went through my inventory and got rid of a bunch of junk, I could probably carry multiple sets of armor. I have an incredible amount of junk in my backpacks that I'm carrying around, and I really need to go through it. One of the biggest problems I have is I have multiple amounts of food that I'm afraid of throwing away because I might just need it. Some of them are like small stacks with less than five. Some of them are, I have a bunch of candy bars that I'm saving from the Valentine's Day thing. I think I even have some cookies that I'm saving from Christmas because I might just need it. And I think that there might be a point where I just need to go through each character and say, do you really need this? Do you really need that? Okay, so this has been an incredible podcast. At least I hope it's been incredible to you because I have been talking now for 40 some minutes and I haven't even gone over a couple of other things I wanted to bring up, which I'm going to do. So this is going to be a little bit longer podcast than usual. I'm just going to quickly go over a couple of other things. I talked about the disparity between alts and I talked about getting Aurelia through the portal. Oh, what I didn't talk about was, and I want to give a shout out to Witch Doctor and a couple of other members of my guild because we went through Sunken Temple, and that's where Aprillian, I mean, Aurelia dinged 58, and it was really awesome. And like I said, it was Witch Doctor and Lucen, Equator, and Milliway. And I want to thank, especially thank Witch Doctor, because he gave me a tell and asked me to come. And at first I was like, do I really want to get involved in something? At this point, it was kind of late in the evening, around, I think it was around 8-ish, maybe 9-ish. And we ended up, it was a Friday night, which was good. Or, no, it was a Saturday night, which was okay. And I ended up Sunday, yeah, well, anyways, I ended up playing till past 11 o'clock. And, oh, it was Friday night, that's right. Sometimes with World of Warcraft, all these days start to run into each other. But I ended up playing way past 11, which is my ultimate bedtime. But it was great. We did all the opening these snakes and then opening the main snake down in the middle of it. I know I don't know the technical term, but I ended up finishing several quests and I ended up dinging 58, and it was a really awesome experience. And I love when I can go out questing with my guild, Lea Iacta Est. These guys are really cool and a lot of fun, and I'm glad to be a part of them. Now, one last segment part of this, the podcast I want to go into, and that would be emails. I got one email this week, and it's from someone named Kurt. I won't read the whole email, but I want to go over some points that this person wrote. First of all, I want to thank you for writing. I love to hear to get emails. And one thing he says is that he's doing the same areas that I'm doing with Un'Gora Crater. He's a little surprised that you have a lot of hunters. As he gets bored with the class, he prefers priests, mage, and warlocks, which are really good. I like hunters because of the pets and that I can send them out and then do my shooting from behind. So I've never gotten bored with them. Plus, I like pets. I like to change up pets. In fact, I got a new one in winter spring, and I'm looking at the ones that might be available in Outland. I can hardly wait. For dual boxing, you have two accounts, right? So that's $15 times two, or did I hear you say you have three accounts? I think I've gone over this before. Yes, I ended up doing 3 months apiece, so for $42 and something a month. I mean, 3 months. It's really not that bad for me, because I think I've mentioned that when I played Second Life, I was spending sometimes $200 a month buying land and other stuff and buying Linden. So actually, World of Warcraft is cheaper for me. And Kurt brings up the point that he agreed with my thoughts about my comments about addiction and the whole subject. I get tired of people's comments about WoW. How is playing WoW for 20 hours a week any different from watching TV or reading books? I agree. And he asked if I have started that quest in Angora Crater that starts at the rowing boat by the raptors. And yes, I have. I think that's the one, if I'm thinking right, that's the one that ends up with the boomerang in Link. I haven't finished it yet. He says it's a long multi-part that ends with the fire boss at the top of the Fire Plume Mountain. It is kind of cool in that you have to die to finish one of the parts. I've heard about that. I can't wait to get to there. I'm pondering if I should transfer. You have to transfer all your characters, right? I'm on a low PvP, low POP server, and it really sucks. The AH is a joke, and in some areas, I'm the only person there. Okay, in that case, I would definitely suggest that you transfer. I would suggest you transfer one character. Do like I did with Belgun. You know, send all your really good stuff to the one character, and then transfer that character. And then once you get to the other server, then you know, just start some new characters. It's $25 a character, and believe me, you don't want to spend that much money on every character on your current server. But if you're on a server and you're feeling like it's not good, also the other thing you can do is before you, I should mention that, before you go through the transferring process, start a character on that other server, and then, you know, just level up a little bit to 10 and see how you like it. You might find that there are things you're going to miss on your other server that might not be on this server. But I definitely recommend that you try another server if you're not happy with the server that you have. Thanks again for your emails, Kurt. This is Control-Alt-WoW. And if you have any questions or comments, especially about today's long, rambling podcast, you can send your questions or comments to me at control-alt-wow@gmail.com. That's CTRLALTWOW at gmail.com. You can go to our website at control-alt-wow.com. You can go to iTunes and leave a comment. I appreciate every review, and I want to thank you for listening. Thanks for listening from Aprilian, Aunt Rilia, Adrian, Trishel, Awari, Vale, and all the rest of my alts.
Dark Lady, watch over you.